Did you bring us a flag and a wobbler?
A wobbler?
A flag and a wobbler there, Caraibar, eh? You want a flag and a wobbler?
Oh, we got to turn him up. Turn yourself up or something there, buddy, or get closer to your sound bike or something.
I'm on my phone.
Of course you are, because it wouldn't be an episode of me recording you without a tractor trailer going by.
Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
I'm Nevermore, and I'm not normally this pleasant sounding.
I'm Frosty, and I'm just a frozen asshole.
And that's right, you got DV Oink, who loves to play and shit. I mean, no, wait a minute, hold on.
And they really didn't name y'all Asshole 1 and 2?
That's what the boss calls it. It's...
Two people remember me, and one's folks, Mom.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
We were a little bit soggy.
Boiled bacon.
That's right.
And I'd like to introduce DV Midnight Backdoor for all your backdoor needs.
You know what that means.
We will talk really slow for you.
I don't know, some of those nights at work.
I'd say that's a different little bird.
Welcome to Frag Out, Drag Out. And welcome to Frag Out, Drag Out. Did you miss us? I hope not, because we ain't really left anywhere. We just made you watch or listen to our first episode, bringing back a little memories for the new year. But with us, we have DV Oink, Pig Boy.
What's happening?
And we have Uncle Fester.
Howdy, howdy. I'm here.
We seem to have lost our one frozen asshole, so I have replaced our Frosty for the night, and he's not permanently replaced, for the night, with another frozen asshole. Say hello to Iceman from Australia.
G'day, guys. How are we?
And if you can't tell by the accent, he really is Australian.
We won't hold that against him. We really won't.
Let's hope you can understand me, hey?
I'm used to it. I don't know if everybody else is. So the reason I did want to bring another person on, he is a vet. He is a Australian Army sapper, as he says. He doesn't say sapper. He says sapper. But
that sounded South African, not Australian.
Exactly. I cannot do an Australian accent. I don't care. But anyway. We thought with everything going on in the world, I don't really want to discuss the fact that millennials are losing their shit because they think we're going to war. Not. Oh my God. See, the only one that's lucky in all of this is poor Iceman, because he doesn't pay any attention to news or media. He's a smart man. But his entire continent is on fire right now. So
yes. It's, I wouldn't say entire continent, but there's a very, very large chunk of it that's on fire at the moment.
But so that we get accurate information from somebody who's actually in Australia, because I've seen so many people going, I want to donate, but they don't know where to donate because there's 10,000 GoFundMes up right now. I don't know that those GoFundMes are going to actually go to anybody in Australia. I know that you can donate to the zoo, you know, Steve Irwin's zoo, because his kids and wife are there and they're taking care of all the animals. But beyond that, I don't know how you can even remotely help unless you're a fireman and you're going there to fight fires. So,
well, that's it. And most of these guys are volunteers. So that's probably, you know, personally, that's where I would start. The thousands and thousands of firefighters at the moment, these guys are all volunteers. They're out there doing this for their communities. So, you know, I think most importantly, these are the guys that we need to be looking after at the moment, because it's been, you know, this has been going on since September. So these guys haven't had a rest since then.
All right. So if they were wanting to help local volunteers, here we have Red Cross and Salvation Army and stuff like that. What do you have in Australia that you know that this money 100% go to helping either the neighborhoods or I can't tell anybody where to put their money, but help the first responders make sure they still stay in gear, still have food, still have water and all of that good stuff.
Yeah. So I'll send you guys a link. After it, I read a good article yesterday afternoon about actually donating, because everyone around the world has been absolutely amazing at the moment, the support that has been shown. But like you said, there's just so many things popping up. So I suppose you got to make a decision on whether you want to donate to the guys, you know, fighting the fires, or do you want to do you want to look after the communities that have been affected and the wildlife there? So there's a few. We have like all our volunteer firefighting services. They all have links, but I'll send that guy through to you guys. There's the New South Wales Rural Fire Service. There's the Victorian Country Fire Association. There's also other the Team Rubicon, which is they employ ex veterans emergency services,
and yeah, they have a Team Rubicon here too.
Well, there you go.
It's winter up here in Alaska, but it's actually summer if I'm not mistaken down there. Correct?
Yeah. Summer for us starts in December, goes through to the end of February, obviously. So 2019 was the hottest year on record in Australia.
Well, people think because y'all have got the ocean right there that it's as simple as let's just go pick up buckets of water and dump it. But the problem is it's not, I mean, Australia's huge. There is a lot of wilderness, or as y'all call it, the bush. So it's not like it's all populated to where
access. We got a lot of desert as well. It's been quite funny when I flicked through my news feed on my phone, just of the news. It was Americans comparing Australia in size to America. That a lot of Americans didn't realize that our country is actually wider than yours.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, at the moment, so I'll roll off a couple of little things at the moment. So since our fire season started in September, we've lost 4 million hectares. To put that in comparison to the 2018 California wildfires, I think there was it was roughly about 800,000 hectares that was burnt out during those fires, and we're already up to 4 million and still burning. We've lost over 2,500 buildings. 1,900 of those were homes, at least. 27 people have been killed so far. Three of them were the volunteer firefighters. It's literally been the worst fire season in our history, without a doubt. Not only are we losing communities, houses, and everything like that, they're estimating over a billion of our animals, mammals, reptiles, and birds will be wiped out by the end of it. Along with their homes, I suppose. You know, some of the fire fronts, they're talking about the estimate in 70 meter high flames. And it's the smoke at the moment that's, blanketing our capital cities. It's, I think the other day it was recorded in Sydney, it was almost five times over the toxic, the required toxic levels to be outdoors. So, it's been very wild, and as I was saying to you guys earlier, there's not many people that don't know someone that hasn't been affected yet. So, it's been pretty bloody horrific.
Well, one group we haven't mentioned in all of this, and I want to know how bad this is affecting them, because nobody has mentioned the Aboriginals. I mean, this can't be easy on them considering they live out in the middle of this bush and deserts.
So you'll find that the Aboriginal communities, they've been hurting for years. The fire controlled burning has been a part of their histories. When we talk about Australia, you've got to understand that the Aboriginals, they were the first human beings known to have made a cross sea journey when they first stepped, we're going on nearly 60,000 years ago when they first originally stepped on the shores of Australia. And they used fire throughout their whole history to control the scrub, for hunting, for everything. It was, their knowledge of this country has been wasted. And I think it's about time that we actually have a look to the traditional owners of the land and get some ideas, because it's obviously our politicians can't get it right.
Oh, you mean it's not working? So it's not working for you guys like it did in California when they decided that cleansing out the dead and diseased trees was damaging the environment. So instead, they made a big fire hazard. So you're basically saying that they stopped allowing controlled burning and controlled logging.
So not it wasn't it hasn't. I don't know. I don't know where, you know, I've been through. I went through and read each of the you know, the Liberals, the Greens, and Labor's environmental policies on the bushfires, and no one's against it. You know, the right wing's blaming the Greenies, saying, "Oh, you wouldn't let us do it. You wouldn't let us do it." That is not the case. The politics behind it is it's a back and forth at the moment, but that's just your usual politics, I suppose. It's all just a bunch of fucking nonsense. I suppose the one thing that's got to be noted is that, you know, there's been advice in the last 10 years, you know, going back to 2009, that we needed to do something because we were creating some very bad conditions. Yeah, they just... At the moment, I think a lot of the media, there's apparently, I heard them speaking around the table last night, apparently there's been over 200 arsonists, which I think is a little bit of misinformation. You know, a lot of these, a lot of the conditions we were seeing were bringing in storms, we're having horrendous lightning storms with, you know, 40 degree conditions with stuff just waiting to burn on the ground. So, yeah, it's been like you noted before, I stay away from the media as much as I can. Do my own research at the end of the day. But I think at the end of the day, it's coming down. We got to realise it's a cycle. The more we dig out of this country's earth, the more we're changing it. So,
you were bringing up the Aboriginals, though. How are they doing with this? Because it's mostly their bush and their homes that's burning. They're not really in cities, are they?
Yes. there's still a lot of remote Aboriginal communities, but a lot of these guys are out in desert-like conditions. A lot of the remote communities, and they're more based Northern Territory, Western Australia. It's the east coast of Australia that's pretty much suffering. We're all out, you know, a good, I'd say 70% of our population live. The Aboriginals up north and that would probably be sitting back going, "I told you so." And the communities around, the communities around our local cities and stuff like that have been lucky enough, I suppose, that we haven't lost too many because of the great work that our firefighters are doing.
Well, I don't want to make the whole show, you know, depressing and dismay and down, but it is pretty serious what's going on over there. And I've seen a couple here in America, you know, they'll bring it up about every 2 or 3 days about the Australian fires, but it is a concern because Australia is very, very, very vast, but it also has very unique animals, and they're at risk of being endangered species at this point because they're going to all burn.
Yeah, well, I heard the other day on the radio as I was driving that our koala will probably be going on the endangered species list once this is all over. So, and they're talking, you know, multiple species of animals, you know, mammals, reptiles, birds that we're never going to see again. And not only that, we you know, local fauna and flora is it'll be changed forever after this, I think.
Well, I mean, that's sad because I won't call myself an environmentalist in the aspect of like Greta, but I will say that when that the animals that are here are in place for a reason. And when you lose those animals, it's like the bee. You can't, if you lose all bees, you lose the ability to pollinate and then everybody dies. So I'm a firm believer in, you know, I would like to, you know, see Australia maintain some of its history, but if, like I said, like that right now, it's kind of sad. I've looked at a couple of the videos of the fire and the fire is taller than any of y'all's mountains.
they've seen it's been, yeah, like I was saying before, I think some of them reported up to 70 meters high, some of the flames. And along with that, they were saying, you know, fire tornadoes and stuff like that. They said, the volunteer firefighter station I was based at in New South Wales before I moved back up to Queensland, I've been keeping in touch with them, and it's the worst fires that they've ever seen, you know, and these are guys that have been fighting fires for 30 years. So,
since we're not on metric, let me give you all a little bit of idea. 70 meters is 229 feet. So that's 229 feet in the air of flames.
Yeah, moving at rapid rates. It's been quite phenomenal. How they've managed to be able to save as many towns as they have still astonishes me. But the funny thing is that I remember sitting at the fire station with the captain doing some training one day, and I think it was around the time that the California fires were happening over there with you guys. And he predicted, he said that by the 2019 fire season will be the worst we've ever seen based off you guys. That's how they predict our fire season, so that whatever fire season you guys have, we expect to have something similar the following fall come our fire season.
Wow. And how many, and you said hectares, how many hectares did you mention
at the moment? At the moment we've lost 4 million hectares.
Holy cow. And if people get an understanding of that, take that times about 2.5, just about 2.5 for acres. So you're looking at
Then there you go. I've got it written down as 16 and a half million acres along the east coast of Australia has been burnt so far or still on fire.
Yeah.
Now, I know the last I looked, and like I said, us getting news from you guys, it's usually 2 or 3 days behind, but it's not even anywhere remotely in control. I know that there are certain areas where they've got it. I actually seen, now I don't know if this is true because this is media, but they're protesting back burning to stop the fires. Is that true?
To be honest, I haven't heard anything about them protesting for the back burning. There's a lot of stuff going on at the moment about climate change, you know. I think that's the big discussion at the moment. Like, I was looking at some things. I think since the Paris Agreement has been signed, per person first, our carbon emissions, we are ranked worst in the world. So we haven't been doing what we're supposed to be doing to fix this problem. And I think politicians now are just quick to pass the buck and blame someone else. So I think that's why we're hearing so many arsonist stories. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure there is some of the arsonist going on, but after, you know, 200 arsonists, I don't think there's that many sick people out there when half your, you know, 70% of where your population's living is on, you know, a good chunk of that's on fire. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't want to dwell and make it all sad, but at the same time, people need to realize, you know, yeah, U.S. has got their shit going on and so forth and so on, and so does everybody else, but there's a whole big wide world that you got to think about, and we've got brothers and sisters, veterans, first responders, you name it, that are in it. They're sitting there watching their entire homeland, half their homeland, you know, it's as much as burned, it's like 5 or 6, 7, 8 states burning right now in equivalent, completely on fire, not like sporadic, you know, it's not like it's like California. I know California's big and I'm not knocking the California fires, but this is like quadruple that size.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, but with every devastation, there comes the great stories, you know, the communities coming together, support that, the, you know, that I've, you know, from around the world at the moment has been absolutely astonishing. You know, I know one of the a comedian on Facebook, my wife follows, she set up a fundraiser and she's now raised over $45 million. So the support has been absolutely overwhelming from around the world. And the community's coming together, you know. I think that's an Australian way anyway. It's,
I was going to say, y'all are a resilient lot. You live daily with things that want to kill you, like spiders the size of your head.
That conversation earlier.
So it's not like you aren't a resilient, determined, you know, the Aborigines have been there forever and ever. And no matter what, in the end, everybody will rebuild and they will start planting. But, you know, it's just the devastation of getting to that point. First, the fires have got to be put out. Then the damage has got to be assessed. And, you know, I know that I don't know what the actual name of that zoo is. You said you live close to it.
Yeah,
I know
Australia the Zoo. Irwin,
the Irwins are Australia Zoo. They've said estimated almost 100,000 animals so far that they've rescued and taken in or treated.
Their hospital will be overflowing. You can actually do a walk through their hospital, their animal hospital up there at the zoo. And, they'd be just completely overwhelmed at the moment.
We should have you, and I know you and public and crowd and all that's no fun, but we should have you tour the zoo sometime and then come back and give us an update after things calm down a little bit.
Well, it's actually my season pass is just about to run out, so I can back up there very shortly for you.
So we're sending the Australian to the Australian Zoo. I'm sure everybody knows who Steve Irwin was. If you don't, then you suck, because that man was a legend. He kissed he kissed some of the world's deadliest snakes, who all happen to reside in Australia. Like, I think out of the top 10 world's most poisonous snakes, like 7 of them are Australian. So,
apparently 9. 9 top 10. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. He was crazy. He loved his animals, but whoo, I don't know how y'all see. I would be scared to go outdoors.
You all say that, but like, well, I was only saying to Uncle Fester before, my wife's been here for 10 years this year, and she had seen her first snake in the wild for the first time the other day.
No,
they just—they're good. Mind you, though, we've had some humongous pythons this year. Have you seen? Did it make your social media over there? The python that was eating the kangaroo.
Yes, I saw that. I was like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah, he was hungry.
A python eating a kangaroo, y'all.
Y'all think I'm crazy for living in Alaska where it's nice and cold. That's one benefit. We have no motherfucking snakes up here. Fuck that.
Well, we always make fun of the Alaskans because, you know, the moose and bear are rather aggressive, but they've got kangaroo that'll walk up and punch you in the face.
When he gets on his back tail and he kicks those legs, that's when you got to worry that my last place, he punctured a hole in my dog's chest from one little kick. And apparently they like to drown animals near water. So they'll kick them into the water and then hold them underneath with their legs.
Damn. And koalas, yeah. I'm sorry, they may look cute and cuddly, but koalas are not cute and cuddly, folks. Do not adopt a koala.
Well, you might have to at the moment. We've got to save them.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, if it came down to extinction, I would take koalas, but they carry diseases.
Yeah, chlamydia.
Koalas have chlamydia, y'all. I learned that a long ago.
And all they do is get stoned off of eucalyptus all day and sleep. So they're not that scary.
So they actually get stoned off of eucalyptus?
They look as, you know, as high as me after, you know, medically medicating myself with my medicinal cannabis now. Thank God we followed suit.
You got to love Australians. Okay, so fires aside and all of that, it's your summertime, so I'm sure that means you've been into shit.
It's been... the new place has got a pool, so I just kick back by the pool or take dogs down the beach. You know, it's when we were on fire, end of November, start of December, Queensland was at its worst. The smoke and that got pretty bad, but we were fairly late. It's the blanket that it puts over the city that amazes me the most.
Oh, yeah, the air control quality has got to be dangerous. Like, I'm worried that in 4 or 5 years there's going to be an epidemic of lung disorders.
There's been some very high toxic levels of smoke reported. Yeah, like I was saying, especially throughout the capital cities, it's crazy.
Well, I have no idea how long we've been recording for this first part, so I think we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I am going to play a game that messes with Oink and Uncle Fester. Seeing as how I have known Iceman the longest and know most of it, we're going to be playing the game of the Aussie's going to use an Australian phrase and you two suckers are going to see if you can figure out what it means. So just hang on. We'll be right back after this break. You are listening to Frag Out Drag Out on DV Radio WDVR.
DV Radio.
Good evening, DVs. Just to let you know, I've got the website back up and running. Don't listen to anything anybody said. I did not fuck it up. I'm a pro when it comes to this shit. I'm not a total retard, you know?
Is that a fact?
Oh, fuck. Fuck! Fuck!
Okay.
Shit! Oh. Be right back. Still not my fault.
This ain't reality TV!
DV Radio.
Shooters Express is Charlotte's number one destination for all personal defense, sport, instruction, and recreational shooting supplies. They offer concealed carry classes for only $29.95. That's only $29.95 for concealed carry classes. And if you're military or law enforcement, you'll receive great deals and be eligible for even more at Shooters Express. So head over to Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina, or visit shootersexpress.com for more information and monthly deals. At Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina.
This is not a paid endorsement from Shooters Express and is provided solely by DV Radio for your charge.
Have you pull-started your girlfriend's anal beads like a lawnmower?
Yeah!
Do you have sperm dripping from the wrong hole in your head?
Mm.
Screamed at for putting it in the wrong hole?
Yeah!
Maybe you need DV Radio sex ed classes. That's DVRadio.net, the only place for the right way to have sex.
This was just a parody ad, should not be taken seriously.
Radio.
Nothing interesting on TV? That's why you're listening to DVRadio.net WDVR.
This ain't reality TV!
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal!
It was at this moment that he knew he fucked up.
Oh, rude! Well, isn't that special?
Bloody, don't you think you should rephrase that?
Mama said that.
Good day, sir!
Now class is dismissed, gentlemen.
And welcome back to Frag Out Drag Out. We still have Nevermore, Oink, Uncle Fester, and Iceman from Australia. But before we get into our lovely show, DV Oink has a few things he wants to say.
That's right. We couldn't have a show without the great sponsors that we have with K-Bar Soap Company. You know, we couldn't trade one frozen asshole for another without you guys. So, hey, if you're into the soap market and, you need something that's all natural with great scents, napalm in the AM. Come on. Whiskey and bad decisions? You can't go wrong there. Come on, guys. So check it out. K-Bar Soap Company. Ditch the bar. Grab grenade. Great products. And our other sponsor, of course, is NFG Vets. NFG Vets is owned and operated by a team of veterans whose sole purpose is, let's be honest, make you fucking laugh. They have quite a few hilarious memes that they put up almost hourly now. So get over there, check them out, and have a laugh, because obviously this is a great time where veterans can get together and, you know, just, hey, be ourselves.
We can be ourselves? What?
Well, sort of.
All right, so, like I said, we're going to play a little game.
Hello, I want to play a game. Now we will see if you are willing to look inward rather than outward. So listen carefully. The clues are in the back of your mind. Once you realize, you will gain a better understanding. Let the game begin.
So, Iceman, give us a Australian word that you, because you know they're not going to know it. I probably won't even remember it now. So give us a word.
Bangers.
Oink, Fester?
Bangers.
That's I'm drawing a blank.
Bangers.
You ate them.
Clams.
Come on, bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash.
Sausage.
I've heard of
bangers. Everyone knows about the sausage.
Sausage.
Well, of course you know about the
I like how he says sausage. All right, give us another word. I should not know all these, but again, I've known my Australian buddy and my British buddy, so they're quite similar. So there you go. Give us another one there.
Oh, what a cracker.
White boy. No, I'm kidding.
Don't say that in Harlem.
Oink, Fester.
I got nothing. No.
Use it in a sentence.
Use it in a sentence.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have cricket over there. Oh, okay. So think of your NFL and a quarterback throwing the ball and one of the receivers is taking an absolute unbelievable catch. It was a cracker.
They're like, no, we still don't get it.
Do I need to speak English?
Okay, hey, Nevermore. How about a flag? How about a flag and a wubla?
A what?
See, now that's racist over here.
But what is he saying?
A flag and a wubla.
I don't even think.
Come on, Nevermore.
I don't think I want to know. Sounds like
It's a cask of wine.
A cask of wine.
So do you have cheap, wine that
cheap
comes
and
in
nasty,
like a,
cheap
yeah, in a silver wine. Bag with that little squeeze thing?
Oh, it's bag wine. Box wine.
Bag wine. There you go.
We call it box wine because it's in a box with a little spout.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, give them another one. See if you can find something similar. I mean, come on. Don't y'all even watch Crocodile Dundee or anything?
Oh, throw another shrimp on the barbie.
That's not enough. That's enough.
your accent's as bad as mine. You say it. Let the Aussie say it.
Which one? The knife? That's not a knife. This is a knife.
He's taught me words like brekkie because, you know, they don't say breakfast and they don't say sister. They say siso. I mean, they've got like all their words. They just freaking shorten, man. It's like they don't want to use a whole word.
No, we're lazy.
What do you call beer? Just beer?
Foster's. It's Australian for beer, mate.
Just kidding.
I've drank more Foster's in England than I have in Australia. You can't find Foster's anywhere in Australia. it's one of our export that everyone else likes that we hate.
I've heard that. I've actually heard that.
And I love the commercials. They say Foster's, Australian for beer, and all the Australians are like, blech.
Okay. Okay, how about, all right, Nevermore, how about prawns?
Prawn?
Prawns.
Prawn.
A prawn is a shrimp.
Yes. Spot on. Oh, That's why. Didn't you have Crocodile Dundee do the commercial? Come over to Australia and throw another shrimp on the barbie.
You'll have the time of your life in Australia. Of course, we talk the same language. Although you lot do have a funny accent. Come on. Come and say g'day. I'll slip an extra shrimp on the barbie for you.
And they don't call, y'all don't call crackers crackers. Y'all call crackers biscuits, don't you?
Yeah, crackers are biscuits.
Well, what the hell's a biscuit?
Okay, so is it only in England that they have spotted dick?
Spotted dick? Yeah, that's an English thing.
His wife is British.
Yeah.
And rotten teeth. Oh, wait a minute. No, we're not going there.
I like listening to it when you get an Aussie and a Brit together and they start name calling, man.
Okay, so
where's Limey when you need him?
Okay, so Iceman, have you ever gone to the bar and done water skiing?
Have I ever gone to the bar and water skiing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Have I?
Nobody broke his ass water skiing once. Yeah. I remember that story.
Yeah, I snapped my hamstring actually. try to water ski. I wasn't very successful at it.
He water skied on his butt, y'all. He didn't use the skis. That's how he tore it.
Barefooting.
A message to me like, I man, I broke my butt.
I got my reference from my favorite folk singer, Kevin Buddy Wilson. He was talking about doing some water skiing at the bar, basically just, you know, getting so drunk that, you know, he can't make it to the bathroom, so he's pissing himself at the bar.
That's why they say they don't say drunk. They don't say they're drunk. They're pissed.
Yeah, we're pissed, blind, trash. We got a lot of names for that because there's a lot of it.
Yeah, don't try to outdrink an Australian.
Right, Lee, mind you, though, I'll give it to you, Yanks. You've had a good crack in Malaysia, but we did put you to bed.
Look, I have seen this poor kid start at like 11 o'clock Australian time and it be like 20 hours later. And he's like, this is how we roll. And I'm like, you're still drinking. It's been 20 hours. How are you not dead?
I think it's maybe not these days. Our army's gone pretty soft, but that, you know, it was pretty much the, you know, you got licensed with beer drinking ability as soon as you start, you join the army.
Like the rest of us, but still. I mean, but y'all have the same liquor as us, pretty much, though, right? Y'all got Jack Daniels and shit like that.
Yeah, I'm a Jack man. I'm a Jack man. Yeah, I think we've got a lot of this craft beer at the moment. It's gone wild. I think we followed you guys. I just stick to my lagers. But you know, a JD and dry now. I can't do it with Coke anymore. I'm getting too old. Can't deal with the sugar hangover.
Oh, Lord. Maybe that's why I just drink it straight. Forget the sugar hangover. I don't know. New Year's was rough, man. Oh, you should have been around for our New Year's show.
Oh, wow. I definitely missed out then. I was in bed by 9 o'clock on New Year's, I think.
Well, it wouldn't have been. Your New Year's would have already have happened.
yeah, well, true.
to give y'all a time estimate. Everybody, oink, what date and time is it for you?
It is the 8th of January 2020 at 12:10 p.m.
Okay, and it is here, it is the 8th of January at 4:12 p.m. What is it for you there, Iceman?
It is the 9th of January at 07:15 hours.
Yes, we had to wake his ass up at 6 a.m. to record with us. Bless his heart.
After I just sent my kids to my parents' house for 2 weeks to go on holidays.
Yeah, he's kid-free, could sleep in, and see, he loves us. I miss having you on the radio, though, because sometimes when we all get going, it is quite hilarious. I do know that you've taken a break and you've just been spending time with the family and stuff like that. And I know you guys, I know it ain't been recent now, but had moved, yep, getting settled in and all that good stuff. But so we're not gonna get into that. But yep, how are you doing?
Pardon?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I've got I've got a lot on at the moment with health stuff at the moment. They might need to cut a little chunk of my skull out at the base of my spine, at the top of my spine, to make room. Apparently, I've got a blockage for spinal fluid. But nothing. It's nothing to worry about. Hopefully, I don't have to have the surgery. But other than that, it was a pretty tough 2019. I won't lie. It started off all right. It didn't the second half wasn't the best, but looking forward to things. So just working through the rest of my medical stuff and trying to get back to work after, and what's it been now, 7 years? They made me, 7 years since they totally permanently incapacitated me. So I'm looking back at starting my apprenticeship as a builder. Hopefully next month. So that's what's on for me at the moment.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I'm taking a bit of a breather. I spent 5 years Giving back to the veteran community the best I could. Now it's a bit, just taking a bit of time for myself and the family. And yeah, settling in to the new place. And, you know, so, sort of leading a life after the army now, I think, finally.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a growing process and everybody goes through that and then they need, I call it self-care break, and there is nothing wrong with that. But I do have to ask. Yes. Since, you know, when you lived in the old place, you would tell us stories of kangaroos and whatnot. Now in your new home, are you still around wildlife or is
No, we're not. We're back close to the city. The wife's from London, she couldn't do the bush. She got too scared, you know, when we got funnel webs and, you know, pythons and that coming in, getting close to the house and everything like that. I think she, you know, we had, 180 degrees of views of the coast. We're up on top of the mountain. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was a good 9 months away, to be honest. It was, we backed onto the National State Forest. National State Forest, does that even make sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The state forest. So it's back into the suburbs. About 30 minutes north of Brisbane. So you know, we're actually really enjoying where we're at. We're on the cusp. So, you know, 10 minutes out the road and we've got the creek and the mountains, and then 5 minutes down the road you've got everything you need for the shops and that. So it's a happy medium for me and the wife, I think.
Yep, and they do not have Walmarts. He is so lucky they do not have Walmarts.
We got Costco.
I think it's time we start importing some Walmarts down there just so they can enjoy.
Let me tell you,
you got to get in before the Chinese.
I took a very intoxicated Tom and it, one of his battle buddies, or Iceman, but he don't care if I call him Tom.
But I took
them through Walmart on video chat and let them see Americans. Yeah, they thought they were crazy.
Yeah.
And listening to him try to copy a Southern accent is freaking hilarious. But I walked him through a Walmart and half the people were like, and I'm like, it's okay, he's Australian, you know. Because the language
experience in Walmart.
The language, there is a very big difference in the language. Over there, certain words are not near as offensive as they are here, and so forth and so on. But the insults are pretty damn good. I mean, if you get insulted by a Brit or an Australian, it's usually pretty damn good.
We like taking the piss out of one another.
Now, I do watch Aussie Man. I like watching him do commentary on videos. What in the hell, I don't even know the phrase, so I'm not going to get it right. What does fair dinkum mean?
Fair dinkum?
Yeah.
Fair dinkum means, are you for real? Mm. Is that real? Fair dinkum. That means, I suppose the best way to translate it is, are you for real? Are you fair dinkum?
I mean, that I would never have even put those two together. But he loves that word. He uses that all the time.
It's because I've traveled so much and I know what the Australian accent can do when you travel. You just got to throw it on and you're welcomed anywhere. I love having, I probably play on it more, especially talking to you guys. But that's probably a lie though. In Australia that I'd be called an ocker, which is very Australian.
Oh, I was going to say, you wouldn't be able to walk the streets here because everybody would stop and have to listen to you talk. We would have to have, like freaking guards with baseball bats, man. Something about that Australian accent over in America, they'd be like, they wouldn't leave you alone. Your wife would call you.
I will get there eventually. Just hopefully I don't get pulled up for fingerprints because I'm pretty sure that they got my fingerprints in Afghanistan. So I don't want to be pulled up as a terrorist.
Well, if they're letting you fly, you should be okay. If you're already flying, you're probably good to go. I mean,
yeah, sweet.
I don't know if y'all got the TSA like we do, but I mean, you're gonna get a cavity search either way.
That sounds fun.
Just make sure that you bring bring a thing of flowers with you. So after he does the cavity search, give him the flowers, and you know, you might get through the next one.
No, I'll just give him a kiss, mate. I'll skip past the flowers.
He's the guy that you would see wear the shirt, "It's not gay if it's TSA." He would actually wear that to the airport. I mean, that's just what kind of Aussie he is.
Yeah, and probably walk around with a hat that says "Dilly Gaff."
No, what cracks me up though is
Dilly Gaff.
In America, you always see like Outback and like Foster's beer and all of that. And when you talk to an Australian, they're like, "Yeah, that's not Australian. They don't even have that shit here."
Yes, we they love marketing us very well overseas, don't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they show you what it'd be like if you were in the middle of the country. There's not much out there.
I will tell you, I went and seen the band The Who, which is not the original Who. They're actually coming to Australia soon.
Well, are they?
Yeah, it's a Mongolian heavy metal band, and they're actually coming to Australia actually sometime this year. Might be May.
There you go. I'm gonna have to look into it now.
He's like, "I gotta see.
Gotta see."
They're actually pretty good.
They're actually really good live, but they're doing some kind of rock festival that happens down there. But yeah, you're gonna have to.
Yeah. Well, I have to check it out. But I am a cracker because I'm a rap man. I love my rap.
You are a cracker. I think he means the American sense, folks. The American sense. Cracker. He's a cracker. Well, theirs isn't what I would call authentic heavy metal. It's more, I don't know, folk heavy metal, but it's really, really good. You should try it.
You got to check it out. No, I listen to everything. Yeah, my wife almost left me when she first met me when she checked out my playlist.
Not that bad, huh?
Well, you know, when I was walking the hills of Afghanistan, I didn't mind a bit of, you know, Miley Cyrus, you know, The Climb. You know, I'd sing that to myself when I got 40 kilos on and I'm walking up, you know, kilometer vertical hills.
Well, you know, yes, Miley, you love Justin Bieber too.
No, me and Justin don't get along. He needed a good walloping as a kid, that bloke.
March, they're going to be in Adelaide, Australia, and in March 17th, they're going to be in Brisbane.
There we go, March 17th.
At the Tivoli?
I need to.
And they're going to be in Melbourne, too.
Melbourne? They're going to be in Melbourne, are they?
So I obviously cannot make name Australian cities because he's sitting here laughing at me.
Melbourne. Yeah, you got to shorten everything, remember? Don't drag it out. We're Australian. We don't like dragging shit out. straight to the point.
Oh, that ain't bad at all.
Melbourne.
I don't know what these tickets are in y'all's dollar amount because, you know, I'm American, but what are y'all, euros? What are y'all?
No, what are we at the moment? We're about 70 cents to the dollar at the moment, I think, against the US.
But what's your currency called?
The Australian dollar.
The Australian dollar. Just, wait, they got cool names for everything except their money. It's just the Australian dollar.
Aussie dollar? The Aussie dollar?
Aussie dollar.
Yeah, the Aussie dollar.
It sounds like you're saying Aussie, like as in Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, but that's how we say Aussie.
We say Aussie, and he says Aussie. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Everything's usually got a Y or an O at the end of it.
Yeah.
So can you see and know that I don't undertake in any social media or news. How about you give me a perspective on what's going on over there with you guys?
Bad guy did bad stuff. So Trump landed a missile on his fucking head. Now everybody's butt hurt and wants to move over there and protect the Iranians. And the rest of us are sitting around waiting for war. That probably isn't really coming. I mean, you should see the memes floating around right now of everybody trying to get back into their uniform. One guy actually was messaged my page and he was like, "That's me." And I was like, but he said, "Alexa, order me some olive drab Spanx because I ain't Simpra fitting back in this uniform." I mean, it's like, it's the same as y'all. I mean, you've got several sides of the fence, and none of them can get along long enough to see what's in the best interest of the country, while the people who actually make rational sense sit back going, if you would just listen, nope, we're just not going to do that. You know, anything that actually is common sense or makes sense, they won't do.
And that's it. That just sounds like politicians in general, doesn't it?
I mean, I would say any country you go to yeah. that has any kind of elected officials, yep. dictatorships, you know, they kind of run it however the fuck yeah. they want it. But, you know, and we're fighting the same problems, you know, with the fires. They did the same thing in California. They didn't like controlled burning. They didn't want controlled logging to get rid yeah. of disease trees and stuff like that. And half of California burned.
This is where the generations are forgetting our history. We need to
I get
look
it.
Back.
They're like, environmentalists, save the trees. I get it, but take the diseased trees out and plant new. Otherwise, yeah. you're going to lose the entire forest versus a couple of trees. Just saying.
You know, before us whites colonized the world, you know, the indigenous people of all of these countries had been roaming these lands for tens of thousands of years. You know, ask the question. At least put them into the debate of what needs to happen.
Well, it seems like they ask,
here in Australia.
I mean, right now they're basing most of their environmental and global stuff on a 16-year-old.
Yeah,
who wants to eat babies?
I mean, I'm not being rude, but what's that 16-year-old know about the world or life? Even if they're classroom smart. That person doesn't have experience. You need to be, like you said, you know, if they had listened to the Aborigines about cleaning up some of the, there wouldn't be near as much fuel. I'm not saying that the fires wouldn't happen, because if it's a dry season and there's lightning,
that's it.
Good trees that's can exactly, burn.
That's exactly right. It's controlling, you know, the eucalyptus tree is highly flammable. And, you know, we're protecting the forest. They're falling over. We're not even allowed to cut them up on the side of the road to take them home for firewood. It's against the law.
That's, you know, stupid.
It's fucking crazy. That's what it is.
I mean, you would. My grandfather, we lived on 100 acres of forest, and he actually let loggers come in, and you make money off of it, but he let loggers come in because the gypsy moths had caused the trees to become diseased. They cleared yep. out the diseased trees. He took yep. the money that he got from the logging, and he invested it back into planting, you know, healthy trees. And yeah, yep. it's not going to be a full forest in the rest of his lifetime, but it's still going to be there later. But that, you know, and our neighbors looked at us and they're like, well, now there's muddy roads. Well, they have to have logging roads to get through to it. Like, that's it's exactly all grown right. back over now. It's yep. not like that. And if you don't, and his big thing was, like, even when there wasn't diseased trees, I always thought it was stupid to go clean up the woods. They're the fucking woods, right? But we would drag out all the brush that had fallen, you know, not the little stuff, but all the big brush, and yep. he would burn it. And I never understood why. And he's like, but this is all fuel. If something ever happens, it can help it spread faster.
Exactly right. Exactly
so it
right.
never made sense to me to go through the woods cleaning the woods of, you know, you can't do nothing about all the leaves. Nobody's going to rake the woods. But all of the dead brush and all of the dead branches that have fallen and all the trees that have been knocked over from storms or whatever, we always kept those cleaned up and it made sense. But I've never heard it being illegal to cut a tree yeah. that's already dead on the side of the yeah. road.
Yeah, you know, like... It doesn't make any sense to me, you know. We're just leaving it there for what? And, you know, the greenies and that will fight that is for, you know, we got to save the animals.
I love how we call them greenies. So in Australia, if you're an environmentalist, you're a greenie.
Yeah,
and we're not saying they're all bad. We get saving. No. You know, if they said that they were going to take, I don't know what y'all's, acreage versus hectares as you're calling it, but if you were going to take yep. the big East Coast and like take all the trees down, yes, I would be against that because you're getting rid of wildlife and blah blah blah. But if you said you were going to go through and yep. thin it out and make it healthy, I'd be like all for it because it protects the animals.
That's exactly right. Yet we'll demolish the whole forest so we can put in, you know, another 400 homes. You know, that's where it doesn't make sense to me, you know. We can clear it if we want to use it, but if we don't want to use it, you're not allowed to touch it.
Well, before we're out of time, I do want to remind people, if you want to donate, we're not saying anywhere in the show do or do not donate. We're just saying be careful with GoFundMes, because I can set up a GoFundMe and say I'm raising it for the Australian fire, and I could easily pocket all of that.
Yeah, that's
research.
A lot of scammers.
Yeah, do your research before you donate. I know that there are donations set up for the Aborigines in a private sector, because some of their native lands have been destroyed. I know there's for the zoo and the locals, but do your research before you just go, well, I help. I get that you think you're helping, but what's the point of raising $2 million that's going to go to some guy in Nigeria because it's a GoFundMe that never makes it to Australia? I mean, they need the help. Don't get me wrong. The guy that they definitely need all the blessings the world can give them. And I'm glad that the world has stepped up. Well, most of the world, you know, there are still some assholes in there. But anyway, DV Oink, do you have any parting words, questions, thoughts, requests?
No, just remember, Foster's does not mean beer in Australia. It means piss water, just like Budweiser does in America.
Oh my god. Piss in a bottle. Foster's phobia.
I thought that was Coors.
Eh, Coors, butt wiper. Yeah, whatever.
Hey, if you're gonna be a sissy, don't be such a sissy that you have to drink piss in a bottle. I mean, come on. Just drink it straight out of the liquor bottle. It's so much better for you that way. Not really. Oh, my head still hurts just thinking about it. Mate, if you've never tried Larceny, I don't know if they have that in Australia. You should really pick up a bottle of Larceny.
Larceny. I'll have to check out one of the big liquor stores.
But they don't. Y'all don't call them liquor stores, do you?
Bottle-o's.
Bottle-o's. And then the gas station's what? A servo. I remember.
Servo. Yeah, that's it.
Service station. Right. Servo. Yeah. Yeah. Fester.
Well, first, Iceman, it was an awesome getting to meet you.
And, you too, brother. You too.
Oh, I'll be bringing him back. I may actually have to talk Iceman into, like, doing his own 30-minute shows once a month or something.
No, actually, it'd be interesting to just once in a while have Iceman join us again. And
I told you, I know vets from all over. I like bringing in variety.
I'd love to join you guys. I'd love to join you guys again.
And then, of course, you know, I got to introduce these people to Kevin Bloody Wilson, so you know they can understand a little bit more.
Kevin Bloody Wilson and Rodney Rood.
I don't know. No clue. Anyway, I seriously want to thank Iceman. Been my brother forever now, but it's always a pleasure having him on the show. There were no semi-trucks, and he wasn't doing the show from a parking garage. I got him up at 6 a.m., but he can eat brekkie and go back to bed. He'll be fine.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I finally get to do it at home. Nah, it's been an absolute pleasure, guys. I appreciate you guys reaching out thanking all the Americans out there that are, you know, giving us the support, and especially the firefighters that are coming over to give us a hand.
All right, and with that, you've been listening to Frag Out Drag Out. Only on DV Radio, WDBR. Till next time, shitheads. Bye.
Thanks again.
And we're clear.
We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under a dock, and there they saw a rock. But it wasn't a rock. It was a rock lobster. Rock lobster. Rock lobster!
DV Radio.